Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Samaches. We are last amud in Perek Arba Mises, the seventh Perek in Maseches Sanhedrin. We are up to the two dots on Samach Zayin Amid Beis. Two dots, and we are into the sugyas of Kishuf, a couple of stories about items that look like one thing, but really they are something else. So yesterday we had a donkey that turned into a board, but he got his money back. Ze'iri. But now we're up to Yanai. One more story related to that. So Yanai, Ikla Lahu Shpiza. Yanai came to a certain inn. Amalahu Ashkin Maya. He said, can I please have a drink? Really thirsty. Please have a drink. So Karibu Shasisa. So they brought him Shasisa, a type of drink, which is a flour and water, maybe a type of beer. And Chaza, the Kamarakshin Sifase. He saw that as they were bringing the drink to him, the lady who had it, who was bringing him the drink, was moving her lips. She was mumbling something. So he knew that there was some type of kishuv going on here. So what happened? Shada purta minei. He pretended to drink it, but really he threw a little bit next to him on the ground to test it out. And havi akrabi, it turned into a scorpion. So he knew that this was not a drink that he should be imbibing. So Amalahu, he says to them, Anasha sa'i miditru. I drank from yours. So he pretended to have drank from there. So he says, look, I took a drink, and he took a drink from mine. So Ashkie, so he gave her to drink something from a liquid that he had, and Havi Chamra, she turned into a donkey. And what happened? Rach v'sak l'shuka. He said, okay, thanks. He jumped on and he rode her into the shuk, into the marketplace. All of a sudden, Asa Chaverta, her friend saw this, and I guess saw what was happening, and I guess you could tell a real donkey from a kishuv donkey. Pashrala, her friend made her, literally melted her, right, made her back into a lady. Chazi de Rachi of Evakoya, it's a Bashuka. So everybody saw that Yanni was riding a woman in the market. Right, that was the story. Again, that's another story of kishuf and real kishuf versus just sleight of hand kishuf. Period. Next, last section. This is here because Reb Elazar is also commenting on this, just like the Reb Elazar commented before. But Talat Svardeya, and also he connected to cause all of the Ekstagninim in Mitzrayim. Talat Svardeya, Vatachas Zeres Mitzrayim. The frog went and covered the entire land of Egypt. Amar Reb Elazar, Svardeya Achas Haisa. Really, it was one frog, because it says Vatal Hat Svardeya, the frog. So really, it was one Svardeya that went over the entire Mitzrayim. Hishritza Umala Kol Eretz Mitzrayim. And Hishritza, it all started with one frog. And then it had and multiplied into all the other frogs that filled the land of Egypt. It does not say here, like we have in Rashi, that they every time they hit the frog, right? That's in Rashi. Here the Gemara just says that it came from one frog. How did it come? So maybe that's where Rashi fills in the details with the medrash that it was hit. Kitanoi, really it's a machlokas tanoim. Rabbi Akiva Omer Tzardeya Achas Haisa Umala Kol Eretz Mitzrayim. Rabbi Akiva says really it was one humongous frog. It was just one huge frog that filled the land of Egypt. Amalo Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Akiva, Malcha Eitzel Haggadah, Kalei Midibrasecha, right? What are you giving Haggadahs for? What are you getting into this world of Haggadah? Right? Stop. Velech Eitzel Megama Alis. Just go back to, real halacha. Nigaim and Ahalis, right? Two Mesechtas in Mesechas in Seder Taurus. Really, says Elazar ben Azariah, Tzfardei Achas Haisa, Sharkalahem Beimbo. Really, it was one frog and that frog screamed and made sounds, and they all came. Meaning it was not as much of an ace that it was one humongous frog. It was one regular frog, and that frog screamed, and they came. If you want to listen to the Haggadah Shir this year, we discussed this, or last year, I don't remember, Machlokas between Reb Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva, based on the words of the Minchas Asher. In his Haggadah, he talks about what the Nekudas of Machlokas is here between Rabbi Akiva and Reb Elazar ben Azariah. It was such a strange phenomenon that Rabbi Akiva said that he said, oh, get out of here! Go to the Gaman Alis. That was the listen in the Haggadah Shir. Also to mention again the probably one of the most famous thoughts of the Stipler. The Stipler made this famous in the Berachas Parrots on Parshas of Era, where he talks about every time they hit the frog, so they became more frogs and more frogs and more frogs. So why don't they just stop hitting the frog? They saw it became worse for them. Every time they hit the frog, it became worse and worse for them. So the famous answer given is that no, because they were bakas. They were angry. And when somebody is angry, they don't act rationally. They just do things, you know, without thinking. Yeah, I see that it's happening, but I'm going to do it anyway. Right? People break things, or you have a child who's angry, so he goes to his room and messes up his whole room. He's going to have to clean it up in 10 minutes. Doesn't matter. Right now, he's going to, you know, right, this is what he has to do because he's angry. Because when we're angry, we're out of control. And that's what happened to the Mitzriyim. They were out of control. So even though it was hurting them, every time they hit the frog, it multiplied, still, they could not control themselves. That's what the Gemara Nedarim says. Kala kois ki lo obed avodah zarah. If anybody is koes, they're just out of control. They're not serving God. They're serving themselves, serving something, but it's kilo obed avodah zarah because they're totally out of control. They do not have shlita on themselves. Okay. Next, Amar Rabbi Akiva. V'chulu. So what happened? Rabbi Akiva, at the end of our Mishnah, on Samach Zayinam and Aleph, Rabbi Akiva had said, well, you can have two people collecting vegetables at the same time, and one of them is violating an Issa D'Oraisa, and one of them is not. The one which gathers vegetables through kishuf, through magic and incantations, and it all comes by itself. So that is Aser and Chayev. But the one who says that it's the one who's gathering is just doing it. It looks like they're gathering with magic, but really it's not. So then they are, that person is Pater. So Rabbi Akiva quotes that in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua in our Mishnah. That's Rabbi Akiva in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua. So ask the Gemara now. Is that really where he heard it from? V'ha, the top of the Amud. V'ha Rabbi Akiva mir Yeshua gamarla. Did Rabbi Akiva learn this from Rabbi Yeshua? So we're about to quote a story, and the story is not going to end until the fourth to last line of the parak. Right? That's where the story goes to. Right? That's what this whole Amud is brought here, just to prove to us that Rabbi Akiva learned the halachas about vegetables and kishuf. He learned it from Rabbi Eliezer. He didn't learn it from Rabbi Yeshua. So what does our Mishnah mean? Right, so here's the story. V'hatanya kishachala Rabbi Eliezer. But Baruch Hashem, we have the story, because we learn a lot from this story. Kishachala Rabbi Eliezer, when Rabbi Eliezer got sick on his deathbed, nechnezer Yekiva v'chadei Rav Levakro. Rabbi Akiva and his friends, the other Tanaim, went to visit him. He was on his deathbed. Hu yoshev v'kidiv shalo. Rabbi Eliezer was sitting in his canopy bed. V'hein yoshev mitraklin shalo. And they were in the hallway. They didn't want to go in too close. They didn't know what state he was in. They didn't know if he was still with it or not. They were kind of staying outside, trying to figure out whether to go in or not. Va'oso hayom Erev Shabbos haya. And that day, what happened to be Erev Shabbos? And right at that moment, v'nichnas Hyrcanus b'no lachlotz tfilav. And just at that moment, Hyrcanus, Rabbi Eliezer's son, came in to take off his tefillin. Because he can't wear tefillin on Shabbos. So he went in to take off his tefillin. We'll get back to that in a second. Let's just read the next line. Garbo v'yatsa b'nezifa. So what happened? So Garbo, Rabbi Eliezer started screaming at his son, what are you doing? What are you doing taking off my tefillin? V'yatsa b'nezifa. And he went out insulted. So Hyrcanus, the Rabbi Eliezer's son, came out and said, K'meduma anisha dada shalaba nitrifa. I don't think my Ab is well. I think he's lost his mind. Because look, he's screaming at me if I take off his tefillin. It's Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, you got to take off your tefillin, right? So he must have lost his mind. So Rabbi Eliezer overhears and says, "Amar lohen, daito v'das imo nitra." No, you're crazy. You and your mother are crazy. Why? Heich manich and it's a skill of oskim it's a shvus. You worried about me? It's 5 minutes to Shabbos. You worried about taking off my tefillin, right? You go worry and light the candles for Shabbos. Okay, you worried about Isser Skilas. Don't worry about Isser about wearing tefillin, that is just an Isser Shvus, as we'll say in a second. So I'm not crazy, you're the one that's crazy. So Rabbi Eliezer, the Talmidim saw that Rabbi Eliezer had his brains, so they said, okay, let's go inside. Right, so that's the first half of the story as we continue, but for a minute. Once it comes up, it's a good chance to talk about it, and that is tefillin on Shabbos. Why don't we wear tefillin on Shabbos? Why don't we wear tefillin on Shabbos? So Rashi and Tosfos here both say, then there is a machlokas from the end of Maseches Eruvin, whether Shabbos is Zman Tefillin or Lav Zman Tefillin. That is a fundamental machlokas. Why is Tefillin a Mrs. Asesha Zman Grama? We know it's a Zman Grama. So we paskin not because of nighttime, we paskin because of Shabbos and Yontif. That's why Tefillin is a Zman Grama, the time by mitzvah. Because there's no mitzvah Tefillin on Shabbos or Yontif. Why not? So, other sources, other Rishonim based it on a pasuk. Miyamim Yamima, they learn it out, not every day they exclude Shabbos and Yontif. The Gemara talks about that in Erevin. Rashi and Tosfos here both quote, though, even if you say that it's Lavzvat Tefillin, maybe you can wear it, still one shouldn't wear it. Why? Rashi, fourth line, Asr Lahanichan, Shema Yesi Bohen, L'Rishus Harabin. Gzera, like Gzera Deraba, just like Megillah and Lulav, right? So too Tefillin, one shouldn't wear Tefillin, one might carry it out. Tosfos adds on the third line, even if you're in a state where you can't move, like Rabbi Eliezer. He's not moving anywhere. He's in bed. Right, what do you mean, Xerish? Doesn't matter. Right, Afilu Yoshi v'makam echad, it is Aser. It is Aser. That's what Rashi and Tosfos both here say. The Rush quotes a Pasuk to exclude Shabbos and Yantif, but in the Beis Yosef quotes a Zohar, which says, Al pi Kabbalah, it is Aser to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yantif. Not just not Zman Tefillin, and not Mamish just because of Gzeira, Aser. Why? So the Mefarshim explained, the Beis Yosef explains, because Shabbos and Yantif are Osos. They're called Os, Ki Osi Hashem Edi Uvenechem, and Yantif is also compared to Shabbos, that it's an Os. Tefillin is an Os, and if we wear the Os of Tefillin on Shabbos, so then that would be Mizalzel in the Os of Shabbos. This is expanded upon by Rabbeinu Bachai and others who say that we know there always need two witnesses. You always need two witnesses. So we have what witnesses? What osos do we have? We have bris mila and we have tefillin on a weekday. On Shabbos we need two. You try to have tefillin on Shabbos, so then that's being mizalzel in the os of tefillin. So in the os of Shabbos, so that's why it's usher, says the Zohar quoted in the Beis Yosef. Halacha l'maisa, where does this come up? Comes up very much. Number one is in terms of muksa. What level of muksa are tefillin? Let's say I walk at the shul, comes up a lot, and somebody's tefillin are on my seat. Or let's say I forget to take my tefillin out of my talis bag, and I have the same talis and tefillin. Yeah, we should start like Chila, have a different talis for Shabbos, for Yantif, special Shabbos, bag of Shabbos. But let's say it's in the same. Can I take my tefillin out? Am I allowed to move my tefillin? So, generally, we assume that tefillin is like a klisha malach lo iser. So you can move it, l'sarach guvel, l'sarach makomo. You can move it. You need to place the tefillin, you can move it away. The tefillin are somewhere on the couch, you want to sit down on the couch on Shabbos, you can move it away. But according to the Zohar, it's much more chamor. According to the Zohar, it's aser, it sounds like it's a chesron kiss, level of muksa machmas chesron kiss, which you can't move directly at all. So again, it's an important nafkamina. L'chadchila wants you to try to make sure to move their tefillin before Shabbos. What else is related to this? What about chalamoid? What about Chalamoid? What about Tefillin and Chalamoid? Is Chalamoid an Os? So that is a major machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Lamed Aleph. That's where all the action is. Siman Lamed Aleph and Aruch Chaim. V'Shabbos v'Yantif Aser L'Haniach Tefillin. V'Pnei Sheheim Atzmam Os. V'Menichem Bahem Os Acher Hayazilzul La'Os Shalahem. That's in the Shulchan Aruch. That's why we don't want Tefillin on Shabbos and Yantif. And then the Shulchan Aruch says in Os Beis. And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes this machlokas. What about in Tiltal? Yeshomrim gam kei maser, unless it's zorach guvah, zorach makomo, v'yeshomrim kadei shelo yiplo yignavim nami mutter, even l'tzarecham. So again, it depends if different days. What about chalamoed? Gam kein aser lahaniach tefillin, mehatam hazeh ba'atzmo, sheyimei chalamoed, gam heim os. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Not the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch quotes that the Chalamoed is also an Os, and it's also Asur Wadu Etzfilin HaChalamoed. Says the Ramah, V'yesh Omrim, Shechalamoed, Chayiv B'Tfilin. V'chei Noagin V'chol Galilus Elu, L'hanicha B'moed U'Levarich Aleihem, says the Ramah, El Shein M'varichan Aleihem B'Kol Ram, B'Beis HaKnesses. Make a bracha quietly. Ask the Taz, ask the Achronim. What kind of pshara is this? Do you make a bracha, do you not make a bracha? What are you embarrassed? If you're supposed to make a bracha, make it out loud. If you're not supposed to make a bracha, don't make the bracha. That's why the Mishnah Berurah says that achronim are maskim to the das of the day of the Taz against the Ramah that says put it on without a bracha. Put it on without a bracha. Tov lahanicham below bracha. And then others, he says, gamkein kodem hanacha yaksha b'daito, even before you put it on, says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting earlier sources, that think about it tonight. If I'm b'chuyiv it's tefillin, it's a mitzvah. If I'm not b'chuyiv it's tefillin, I'm just putting it on stomp. Because you don't want to be mezalzel. So this is the discussion of tefillin chalamoid. What's amazing is that it's not clear in Shas. It doesn't talk about chalamoid. Is there anywhere in Shas that talks about chalamoid? So it's not clear at all. But there are three suggestions. We're going to have to go into them in depth. Three suggestions by the Achronim that they think, oh, there is a Mefurish Gemara. I'll just quote you one of them. I'll just quote you one of fascinating pickup by the Aruch Laner. The Aruch Laner in his Shuvas the Binyan Sion quotes the Gemara in Meseches Sukkah, where the Gemara discusses on Daf Mem Vav, if you have a lot of mitzvahs in front of you to do, how many brachas do you make? Do you have to make a bracha on every mitzvah? Can you just make a bracha? Save time. You have a lot of mitzvahs to do. So what's an example of having a lot of mitzvahs to do? The Gemara says, you have a lot of mitzvahs in front of you, and Rashi there says, Leishev basuka ulahaniach tefillin. Wow. When are you wearing tefillin on Sukkos? Leishev basuka ulahaniach tefillin. So says the Aruch HaNer, it's Mamash Rashi. Must be Chol HaMoed, that he's wearing tefillin. Others say, oh, what's the only way out of it? If you put a comma there. For example, if you have sukkah with a bunch of other mitzvahs, or you have tefillin with a bunch of other mitzvahs, but it doesn't mean sukkah and tefillin together. That's the only way out. But he says, v'zal karchap, chol moed ma'ayas, b'nyin siyan, and simin nun vav. There are other rites as well. There's a machlokas and mesechas krisas on daf tes. A ger toshav. How does he keep Shabbos? So we paskid that he has to keep Shabbos like chol. Not like even chol moed. It's a machlokas there. Why can't he keep it like a Jew keeps Chol HaMoed? Because Chol HaMoed is like Shabbos and Yontif. Chol HaMoed is an os. That's what the Avnei Nezer says. I think Rav Soloveitchik has another raya that he quotes from his grandfather. Again, that is a big issue. Again, the Minhag of Eretz Yisrael is not the way it's filling at all, like the Shulchan Aruch, no matter what. Okay, let's continue. So, he took off his tefillin Erev Shabbos. So now they know Rabbi Eliezer still has his marbles. So, they walk into him. Kivan Sherau Chachamim Shadadim Yishav Zolav. Once they see that he has his das, Nichlesu, they went in. V'yashu Lefanav Meirachok Dalal Amos. They went in, but they still stayed Dalal Amos away. Why? Because if you remember back from Bamitzia Daf Nun Tes, Rabbi Eliezer was put in Chayrim because of the argument he had with the Rabbanon, the famous argument where the Basko went out and said Lo Bashamayim. Basko went out and said the Halachas like Rabbi Eliezer, and they say no, you don't pass him like him. Lo Bashamayim he, and Rabbi Eliezer still stuck to his guns, and the Chachamim put him in Chayrim. So he hasn't been taken out of Chayrim yet. So that's why the halacha is not allowed to go within Dalan Amos of somebody in Chayrim. So they went to visit him on his deathbed. We'll see why in a second. But that's it. So Amar Lai, so he says to them, Lama Basem, what are you doing here? Amar Lai, Lomo Tarbanu, we came to learn. Amar Lai, V'yad Achshav Lama Lo Basem, where have you been? Where have you been? You waited till my last day. So Amar Lai, Lo Haya Lanu Pnai. So we never had a chance. Never had a chance to come, sorry. Stop there for a second. The Rishonim assumed that this was a big lie. He didn't have time to come. He was in Chayrim, that's why they didn't come. So the big Shaila is, Mimanashach. If he was in Chayrim and they weren't allowed to come, so Rabbi Eliezer knew that, so what was he asking them? And if they were allowed to come, why didn't they come earlier? So all the Rishonim here try to struggle, here and more about Messiah Daf Nun Tes, what exactly was the state of Chayrim that he was in. The Ramban in Messiah there says there are two levels of Chayrims. There's a Nidui and there's a Chayrim. There's two different types of chayrims. And shahayu dochim osa b'dvarim shalo yomer b'nei neder sheberchu. They didn't want to lie to him. You're allowed to be mishanim b'nei shalom. As the Gemara says in Yevamos, they lied because they didn't want to make him feel bad. So they said, oh, we didn't have time. But really, fundamentally, they did not come to him because he was a real, bona fide chayrim. Why'd they come the last day? Maybe they wanted to try to get him out of it on his last day. They wanted to see if he retracted. If it wasn't a real bona fide chayrim, why didn't they come to him all their life? He was the gadol, one of the gadoli adar. So you have to say it was a real chayrim. And if it's stam a nidui, which is a lower level chayrim, it says you can learn from that person and teach them. Only if it's a chayrim, which is the higher level, is he off limits totally, and that's why they must not have come to him. That's the shita of the Ramban. That's why they didn't come. If that's the case, though, the shaila is, why did Rabbi Eliezer scream at them? Because he knew. He knew what type of chayrim they were in. If you look in the Ritva in Bava Metzia, the Ritva in Bava Metzia quotes his Rebbe, his grand Rebbe, the Ramban, and then he says, sorry, but I agree with Rashi. I agree with Rashi, because Rashi says in Bava Metzia, and a little bit here, that it was Nidui, it was the lower level. It was the lower level chayrim. And he says, Lefi Rashi, Asi Shapir, Masha Amrulo, Lomo Torabanu. Right, Harshari Minuta, Shonav Shonav Lo, Umashalo Bo Alakshav. Why didn't they come until now? Because they were still embarrassed. They would have to stay Dalai Lama away from him. It's kind of embarrassing for the Gadol Ador. You can learn from him, you have to stay in the back of the room. You have to go to a shir and everybody's sitting in the back row. Move on. No. We're not allowed to. That's so embarrassing. So they were allowed to learn from him. That's where they went. But they didn't want to go and embarrass the Gadol Ador by having to stay outside of Dalai Lama, says the Ritva Bamasiya Daphne Tess. Aye, so why? They go on the last day. Again, it was the last day, so they wanted to get what they can. So again, the Ritva agrees with Rashi against his grand Rebbe, the Ramban. And finally, the Rashba says, maybe we could say, not all people in the Chayrim are created equal. Lo kala mechramim v'niduyim shavim, says the Rashba in the Tshuva, Dalet Pei Vav. Va'od efsharli lomar de'ein din hamuchram v'hamenudeh shavin b'kol hamuchramin v'hamenudin. Why? If somebody is a menudeh because he didn't have hera, okay, fine. Period. He's off. Let him die in his nidui. But here, we're talking about Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, sheyatza baskel v'yamra. The baskel went out that halacha kamosa v'chol makom. Okay, so he was outvoted. And Rabbi Yeshua danimo ba'alacha v'chein chachamim. Ella, it must be she'in machmir b'miksas hadinim alalu, ella b'mishin esnada v'hukram ala v'era. It must be that this was not a run of the mill cheirim. So there was some flexibility. So that's why they came to learn with him on the last day. They came to learn with him because they wanted to get some learning from the gadol hador. Finally, let's do a little more, and then I'll say one more point. So they said, okay, we're here now. We didn't have time. Amar Lahamsi responds to them back in the Gemara. Tmiya ani im yamusu misas atzman. You guys aren't going to die in the normal way, right? He was talking to a number of dasar harugei malchus. So he says, I can see in the future, right? Just reading the Gemara, it sounds like this is kind of he's like upset at them, but doesn't sound. But deeper on a deeper level, he's not the sapa cause of what they did. Amar Rabbi Akiva shalima. What about me? Rabbi Akiva says, Amar lo shalcha kashim shalahen. Sorry, but you're even worse than everyone else. What your end is going to be. Why? Rashi says he had the most potential out of all of the other chachamim. So maybe he should have made more of an effort to come to Rabbi Elazar before the end. Or the Yad Ramah says that Kodesh Baruch Hu was bedaktik with his tzaddikim kuchot asayra. It's bedaktik with him. That's why shalachot kashim yishalahen. I saw in the Birei Chasidus, perfect day to come, Birei Chasidus says the quotes from a source here, again, I don't understand it fully, but the Asar HaRugei Malchus, like other sources say, were Gilgulim of the Ten Shvatim. Right, that's so what the story goes, that's what the punishment, even though all the Ten HaRugei Malchus weren't for the same historical time period. They were all put together in the same paragraph we have in the Davening, in the Kinas, and in the Davening on Yom Kippur, but they say they were connected to the ten brothers that sold Yosef. So Yadua Adavers, quotes the Birei Chasidus, Rabbi Akiva and his friends with the Asar HaRugei Malchus. And this was their tikkun. This was their tikkun. Rabbi Eliezer, that told Rabbi Akiva, Shalachal Kashim Shalahen, he was a Gilgal of Reuven. That's why Rabbi Eliezer had Gadol. He was the Gadol. He was a Gilgal of Reuven. As Reuven says, throw him into the board to try to save him. So Rabbi Eliezer was punished by going into jail, because the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Tes Zayin. Rabbi Akiva was a Gilgal of Shimon. And that's why, because he was Shimon, he was Dachavis, he threw Yosef into the pit, so he met a difficult end. But Rabbi Eliezer, who was Reuven, tried to save, just like Reuven tried to save the brothers from doing anything to Yosef, so Rabbi Eliezer tried to save that Rugei Malchus. Come learn with me. And they were marchik him, so there was nothing that he could do. He says, Tamani, if you will die, regular Misa. Again, the whole concept of Gilgul, Machlokas Rishonim, whether we believe in this, whatever it means. But this is what's quoted here. So, Rabbi Eliezer says, you're not going to die in the normal way. As we continue the story. Natal Shtei Zro Osav. So, Rabbi Eliezer takes both of his arms. V'nichon Aliv, when he goes like this, he closes his arms. Omar. Oylochem shtei zro osai, woe to me is my two arms. Shehein kishtei sifrei Torah sheneglalin har bei Torah. Sheneglalin. It's like two sifrei Torah rolled up. My arms are like two sifrei Torah. Har bei Torah lamati, har bei Torah limadati. I learned a lot. I taught a lot. Har bei Torah limadati, lamadati v'lo chasadi mirabosai afidu kakelav amalak egmen ayam. I learned a lot of Torah from my Rebbeim, but my Rebbeim are so amazing. It's not like they miss anything. But I didn't take anything from them. It's like a dog who licks a little water at the sea. He doesn't make the sea have any less water. So to me, I learned from Arabeim. Arabeim are still unbelievably amazing and much greater than me. He's an anav. V'harbi Torah li madati, and I also taught Torah. V'lo chesroni talmidai. Elikim b'chol bishva first. My talmidai hardly took anything from me. Like a little reed in a place where you put the reed. A macho bishva feres. Right, so he said, there's so much Torah that I didn't teach. I have 300 halachas to teach about a detail of Hilchos Saras, about Haris Azah, a strong white spot. Nobody ever asked me. 300 halachas in Hilchos Saras. Below Ode, Ella, Shani Shona Shlosh Mios Halachos, V'yamila Shlosh Halachim Halachas. Benetias Kishuin. Oh, finally, we're getting to our case. And I have a 300 or 3,000 halachas about planting vegetables. V'lohaya adam sho'alani v'endavar me'olam. And nobody ever asked me, except for once. Just before we continue, there is a little more expanded depiction of this story in Avos Rabbi Nassan. Avos Rabbi Nassan is an amazing work, which is underused. It's 30 prakim that is at the end of, it's by all the Mesechus Ketanas. It's printed at the end of Mesechus Avodah Zarah, Mesechus Machos, Avos Rabbi Nassan, Mesechus Kala, all of those, Mesechus Gerim, and the others. That it's printed, it's an expansion mostly of Pirkei Avos. So Pirkei Avos, we're all learning this time of year, the six prakim. Avos Rabbi Nassan, for every one line of Pirkei Avos, obviously Rabbi Nassan has about three paragraphs. So anybody who ever wants to get an expanded idea of some of the ma'amarim in Pirkei Avos, a great place to look is Avos Rabbi Nassan. But it also has expanded versions of stories in the Gemara. So in the 25th parak of Avos Rabbi Nassan, it quotes this story, this exact story of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, and he just has an expanded version of what Rabbi Eliezer said about Oi. Not just my two arms are closer for Torah, just he adds in two extra lines. Oy li al shtei, it reminds us of Nishmas. Oy li al shtei zrosai eile. Beisif Torah, Shiniftarim in Olam, Shim Yiyu Kol Hayamim Dio, where all the seas ink, the Chol Kanim Kumasin, and where all the reeds in the world quills, the Chol Bnei Adam Lavlarin, and if all the people in the world were scribes, Einan Yecholon Lichtov Kol Mashe Karisi Vishanisi, you wouldn't be able to write down all the Torah that I have to give over. The Chol Sheshimashi Lachachamim B'Yeshiva, you wouldn't be able to do it. Just gives a more beautiful depiction of the all the world is this, and all the water, and all the reeds. That's what he says. I have so much that I didn't give over. So he says, and I have 3,000 halachas to teach you about Etias Kishuin. I didn't tell anybody except for once, third to last skinny line. Chutz Me'Akiva Ben Yosef. It's one time Rabbi Akiva was walking with me. Pamachas Ani Vehu Malchin Hayinu Baderach. One time we were taking a walk. Omerli Rebbe Ilam Deni Minatias Kishuin. And one time he said to me, Rebbe, please teach me. And we'll see what this means. Teach me about Natias Kishuin and magic and Kishuf. So Amarti Davar Echad. So I said a word. Nismal Kol Asad Kishuin. All of a sudden, the whole field was full of cucumbers. Omerli Rebbe Limatani Natiasan Lam Deni Akirasan. Okay, you told me how to plant them. Now teach me how to uproot them. Amarti Davar Echad. Niskapsukun L'Makam Echad. I said another word. Boom. They all got gathered. They all were gathered. Amrulo. So fine. That's the end of Rebbe Lazar's statement to these rabbis. So we're going to finish the story first, but then we already see the kasha of the Gemara. The Rebbe Akiva learned it from Rebbe Eliezer. He didn't learn it from Rabbi Yeshua, quoting the Mishnah. But that's where we quoted this whole story from. But Amrulo. Let's continue. So while they were there, though, the Rabbanon asked Rabbi Eliezer the following. Amrulo. Hakadur v'ha'emom v'kamiyah v'asrora margolias v'mishkolas katana. Mahu. These are all items mentioned in the Mishnah in Meseches Kalim. And they asked him, are all these Kalim Tameh or Tahar? What are they asking him these questions for the end of his life? This is what you ask him? Why don't you ask him what's going to be in Olam Haba? They ask him, no. The point is, Rashi explains, they were asking Malach in Tum and Tara to know if he was Choser Bo or not. Because that was what the whole Machlokas was about originally. But Malach of Tum and Tara, what's the issue here? Rashi explains, we know that a Kli is only Makabal Tumah if it has a base kibble. If it has a pocket, if it has an area to hold something, right? A flat kli, kli is not, it's not called a kli because it doesn't have a base kibble. Maybe a pshute kliates is a separate issue. Maybe a flat piece of wood could be used for something, separate issue. But let's say a metal kli, it needs a base kibble. What if it's made to hold something but to be totally enclosed? Think of a ball. You have a ball. You have an outside, right? A ball outside of the ball, and then inside is meant to hold something. Not a ball like we have, like you blow it up. A ball that has like a wool inside. So you have wool inside the ball, and it's totally closed up. So that's a base kibble, but it's a base kibble that's meant to be closed up. So is that called a base kibble or not? Is that makabel tumah or not? That's a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. A second machlokas. These are the two questions that they asked him: is what happens if it gets ripped open? If you want to tovel the ball to make it tar, do you have to take out all the stuff that's inside? Because it's a chatzitza, or not. The Chacham say you got to take it out. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you can leave it in there. Those are the two questions that right here they're asking Rabbi Eliezer. So all of these items. So, are they tamei or tar? Amar lahen, hein, tamein. They're tame. I still hold what I held. They're tame, meaning a base kibbol, the language of Rashi, a base kibbol that's made to be filled forever. Second wide line. Rashi quotes this. Kibula nasis lamalosa milui betocho olamis. Is that shmei kibbol or lo shmei kibbol? So Rabbi Elazar says it's shmei kibbol, and therefore it's tame. And then they asked him, v'tarasan b'ma shehein, and their tara is as is. B'ma shehein. You don't have to remove anything, says Rabbi Eliezer. Just leave it in there and tovel it as is. Meaning, I'm stark in my shitas. I'm not chozer bo. I'm not chozer bo. And then they continue to ask him, min al sha'al gabe ha'imus mahu. It's brought up in Masechet Shabbos too. The way they used to make shoes in those days was they made it out of leather and then they put it on. Like we have them, like, let's say you buy a new pair of shoes and you have like a shoe, the form of the shoe, a shoe, not a shoe horn, but a shoe tree that you put inside the shoe in order to keep the form, to keep it in shape. So they had them in those days, not a continuous usage, but what did they have? They had, originally when the shoe was made, they put it on the shoe tree type of thing, and they left it there for a while in order to make the shape. But right at the beginning, when you put it on there, it didn't have Gemar Malacha yet. It has to stay there for a while until you take it off. So they asked him, this minol shal gabim, the shoe that's on there in their mouth, did it have Gemar Malacha yet? Is it a shoe yet or not? So Amar lahen, hu tahar. No, it's tahar. It did not have Gemar Malacha yet. That shoe is not tame yet. V'yatza nishmaso b'tahara. And at that moment, Rabbi Eliezer's neshama left this world. Yatza nishmaso b'tahara with the words, hu tahar. Says the Sefer Chasidim, in Simin Taf Mem Ches, Mi Shenatalamus. If you see somebody's at the end, Yidabru Divrei Torah Imo. Talk to them in learning, Kadesha Tetzin Nafsho B'Divrei Torah, Shekein Asu L'Rebbe Eliezer. One line, Sefer Chasidim in Taf Mem Ches, you learn from here that Kedusha and Tara, somebody's involved in Torah at the end of their lives. So what happened at that moment? Amar of Yeshua Ragla, Rabbi Yeshua was also there, he stood up, V'Amar Hutar Haneder, Hutar haneder. Right? The neder is finished. He's out of cherim. The Rashba proves from here that you can be matur a cherim even after a person dies. Right? Hutar haneder, hutar haneder. Lomotsoi Shabbos. Pagabo Rabbi Akiva. So this was right before Shabbos. So they didn't get to have the Levaya before Shabbos. So Hercules was an onain on Shabbos. So Pagabo Rabbi Akiva and Kisari Lalud. So Mosi Shabbos during the funeral procession, Rabbi Akiva meets it between Kesari and Lud, and Hayamake Bipsaro Achadamo Shotesla Aretz. And he was so upset. He was so upset until he was hitting himself, until Damo Shotesla Aretz, until the blood was flowing down from his face, from his body. Pasach Alav Beshura Va'amar Avi Avi Rechav Yisrael Parashav. What Elisha said about Elio, he says, Oy vey, this was my Rebbe. Harbe Moz Yeshli, I have so much money. Vainly Shulchani Lahart Sosan. I don't have a money changer to change it. The Avrama says, he's giving a mashal. He says, I have so many questions, so many things. I don't know whether they're good questions, bad questions, good chidushim, fake chidushim. Like a money changer tells you what money is good, what money is bad. So too, I need a Rebbe to tell me all this information that I'm learning. I need a Rebbe to tell me what is positive and what is not. So after this whole long story, the Gemara says, Alma Rebbe Eliezer Gamra. So you learned from Rebbe Eliezer. Right, not from Rabbi Yeshua. So how can our Mishnah say it was from Rabbi Yeshua? Just two other points, though, before we answer the question. And first is just Tosis, bottom Tosis. How could Rabbi Akiva wound himself, make himself bleed? Isn't that an Issa Daraisa? V'seret lo nefesh lo sidnu b'fsarchem. Right, isn't that an Aveira? Tosis says Mishum seret lo nefesh leka de mishum Torah ka'avid. There's no Isser of Sarah Lanefesh because he's doing it for the Torah. What does that mean? So if you're wounding yourself because of the Torah that was lost and not because of the person, so then that is, Tosas says that's Mutter. Okay, what does Tosas mean? So, two points on this. Beautiful. Number one is, that's what the Sharm Zayin Malacha quotes the Darkei Tshuva. Quotes the Darkei Tshuva in his Sefer Tiferes Bondim Ala Torah. I think this is one of the Munkacha Rebbe's. Why do we tear Kriya at a Levaya? Why do we tear Kriya when somebody dies? See, quote's amazing. That when we tear Kriya, we're acknowledging that only the outside has been ripped away from us. Only the chitzonius has been lost, but of course the neshama lives chai v'kayam. The inside lives forever. And that's why we tear clothing from the on the outside, because tearing a beged, it's as if we're acknowledging that only the physical has been ripped away from us. That's why we tear kriya, and that's why we're upset. But if we're really, he continues and says, but if it's the Torah that we're mourning, we're not mourning the person. That was on the chitzonius. But if we're mourning the Torah of a person, that's pneumius. That's pneumius. And that's a reason to be upset. That's why the rules are different there. The Sarah Lanefesh, by a person, you're not allowed to affect your bodies, because you have to know that only the body's not here, but the neshama is still here. That's why you only tear beggars. You don't tear your bodies. Masha'ekein, when it comes to Torah being lost, so then that's something to cry about. And that's the Shem Zayin Balacha explains for Tosis. And then if you look in the Rav Pinkus writes in Sha'arim B'Tfilah on page Lamed Tes, he says, Rabbi Akiva, he was crying for the Torah? Rabbi Akiva had plenty of Torah. What's talking about Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, who Moshe Rabbeinu saw b'nevuah, that this was Rabbi Akiva, and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let him give the Torah, not me. And he was crying. Imagine, says Rav Pinkus, what we have to cry about. Imagine when we daven, we don't think we have to cry. We focus on the personal tefillahs. What about the Kabbash Shofar Gadol? What about Vlam Malshin and Malti Sikva? All the problems that we have in our society today. Rachmana Litzlan. Rav Pinkus says, if we think a little bit, you know, we have to cry about so much. Rabbi Akiva cried for what he lost. Imagine the Torah that we don't have. Imagine, he says, then all we have to do is to focus a little bit. Doesn't mean you have to scream out during davening. You have to scream out privately. Because one may continue in there in the parak, that even one moment of proper kavana could do unbelievable things and get up to the Kisei HaKavod. So anyway, back to the story. So he learned it from Rabbi Eliezer, not from Rabbi Akiva. So Mara says, Gamar Mir Rabbi Eliezer Volo Savra, Hadar Gamar Mir Yeshua Vazbar Nilay. He learned it from Rabbi Eliezer, he didn't really understand it. Never understand what he did or how he did it, and then he learned it from Yeshua, who explained it to him. So maybe this was the question: Hey Chiyavidachi, how did Rabbi Elazar do that? Or not? Not Osa Malacha, Osa Ma'isachayim. We learned that on Mishnah. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do a kishuf like that. So the answer is L'Hislami Shaini, to teach your Talmud what to do, what not to do. That you're allowed to do it. The Mamar, as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, L'Tilma La'asos. You're not allowed to learn all these items to do it, but you're allowed to learn it in order to understand it and to paskin. That's why the Bali Sanhedrin, the Chacham in the Sanhedrin, they were bekim in all the Avodah Zarah. Because they got to know the Avodah Zarah in order to know what the paskin, if somebody is an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So that was that's the answer, how we learned it from both. Okay, Hadralach Arba Mises. Now we move on to the 8th parak, Ben Sorer Umore. These halachas merit their own parak. It's just the next on the list. The next on the list. Remember, back on Daf Nun Gimel, we have the list of the Niskalin. So the next on the list is Ben Sorer Amora. But because there are many halachas to Ben Sorer Amora, so it merits its own parak in this Masechta. So Ben Sorer Amora. Mei Masai Nasa Ben Sorer Amora. So Ben Sorer Amora. When do you become Ben Sorer Amora? Even before that. What does the word Sorer Amora come from? Sorer Umore. Sorer, he turns. Rashi says this ala Torah. So he turns away, umore, and he rebels. He's turning away and he's rebelling. Think of the Eben Ezra. He is saying, so rare is the los assays. He's turning by doing the averis. And more, he's rebelling by not even doing the assays. Right? So rare, umore. There is a machlokes, a discussion, I should say, in the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch says that Betzor Amore is only in Eretz Yisrael. Only in Eretz Yisrael, where there is a Sanhedrin, says the Sefer HaChinuch, in where? Not in Kiseitse. He says this in this week's Parsha. Parsha's Kedoshim. Reish Mem Ches. It's only knowing in Eretz Yisrael. She'in Donan Din in the Farsha Sel Hashem. Only there. The Minchas Chinuch says, I think it's Lav Dafka. I think he means, whenever you have a Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael, you can judge it anywhere. Right? It's not Dafka in Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Minchas Chinuch understands the Sefer HaChinuch. What mitzvah is he talking about there in Reish Mem Ches? Unbelievable. We don't realize this is a mitzvah. Reish Mem Ches, we're not supposed to overeat. That's the Aveira. Reish Mem Ches. Shalol lechov l'shtos kederach zolol v'sove. We should hang this up at all the smorgasbords. Shalol l'harbos pachila v'shasiyah. But then he says, b'mei anarus. B'tnaim ha'nizkarim b'ben sorer mora b'kasov. This is the azhara. We had this earlier in the Masechta. What's the azhara for ben sorer mora? Remember? Lo socho al adam. It's one of the lafshim aklalos is. from Daf Samach Gimel. So this is the Avelo, Soch Lo Adam. So I think it does, we can learn not only from Naris, right? We're not supposed to eat, as a glutton, even any time in our life. Supposed to eat appropriately. But that's the mitzvah of Reish Mem Ches, and that's where the mitzvah Chinuch says it's only in Eretz Yisrael, and the Minchas Chinuch thinks it is Lav Dafka. So Betzorah Morah. Me'emas Einasa Betzorah Morah. What age? When does a person become a Ben Sorah Umorah? Mishayavish Shtei Cyrus V'yad Sheyakiv Zakan. When he brings Shtei Cyrus, two hairs, when he becomes a Gadol, until the beard fills in. But the Mishnah says, "Hatachton v'lo ha'elyon." Not the literal beard, we're talking in euphemism, the zakin tachton, v'lo ha'elyon. Ela she'dibur chachamim b'lashon nekiyah. But the Torah, the chachamim always speak in a clean language, Shenemar. Now we're going back. How do you know it's, this is the age, right, when he becomes 13? Kihiyeh le'ish ben. Ben v'lo bas. It only applies to a boy and not a daughter. We'll have on tomorrow's daf, that is based on a pasuk, but that sefer achilah that I just read you says because generally it's a time of mitzvah. Generally, girls aren't doing the achilah v'shasiyah gasas. It's mostly the men. That's why we need this hasara. Ben viloish, so a son and a daughter, a son and not a man. So it can't be a grown man yet. Katan pater shalabalach al mitzvahs. So it can't be a katan because a katan is pater from al mitzvahs, and it can't be an ish. Because it is, so wait, somewhere in the middle. So what's in the middle? As we're going to see, it's going to be 13 to 13 and 3 months. So kata minolan de pater. How do we know katan is pater? Minolan kintani taimash. Lo balach al mitzvahs. What do you mean? The Mishnah says, a katan is not included in mitzvahs. Visu, hechashkachan, to anash akasav, to hachali boy karlam iftere. Where do you ever see that a katan gets any punishment? That you need a pasuk to say a katan is excluded? Where is it? Anan hachi ka'amrina. No, this is what we meant. This was the havamina. Atu betzora umora al chaton erag? Is the betzora umora killed for what he has done already? Al shem sofo erag, the famous lashon. He's killed al shem sofo for what we could forecast that his actions are going to lead to. V'kiva al shem sofo erag, and since he is going to be killed al shem sofo, afilu katanami. So maybe even a katan, because a katan is being killed for what he's going to do, be gadlus. So maybe here too. The ode, and also, ben velo ish katan mashma. Ben velo ish maybe sounds like it is a katan. That's why you have all those havaminas of how do you know a katan is excluded? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, to Amar Krak, hi yele ish ben hasamuch ligvuraso shel ish. We says when man has a son, so you ish and ben are next to each other in the pasuk to teach me that, it has to be a ben that's close to the gvura of an ish, but not actually. As we'll see, that means 13 to 13 and 3 months. Fine. There's a big discussion here. Was this a real havamina? This is a real havamina that the katan would be punished because it's a ben sorah umorah. If you remember the Ramban, we mentioned it at least once in this Masechta already, but it's a Ramban we should review because you saw this dick Ramban. The Ramban of Pashas Kiseitse, where the Ramban says in Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Yud Ches on the Pasuk of ben sorah umorah, the Ramban says there are four people in our halacha that are not punished based on what they did, but for the danger they represent to society. And these are the four people where the Torah says by them the Chol Yisrael Yishmu V'Yiro. Parsha Shofim and Parsha Kiseitse, and they are Ben Sora Mora. The Gemara says here they're Nidal Shem Sofo. Number two, Adam Zomamin. That's what we paskin. If they actually did it, Kasher Zomam v'lo Kasher Asa. Right? We don't. It's just that they're undermining. Usually, it's Kasher Zomam. Number three, Mesis. Even if you just try to get the person to do Avodah Zarah, he's undermining. And finally, number four, Zakin Mamre. Zakin Mamre, the member of the Sanhedrin Agadol, who gets outvoted and still goes home and paskins like he thinks is right, because he thinks the rest of the Sanhedrin is wrong. You gotta go with the flow. You're outvoted by the Sanhedrin, so you have to realize that you're outvoted. You can't, you have to give in. So those four people say they're Rabban, they destroy the fabric of society, and therefore they must be killed, even though their actions per se don't warrant it. Zakim Amri Zalshem Shemayim, he thinks he's right. He thinks everybody else is wrong. A Mesis, he didn't even do it. I didn't succeed. But all of these cases are Al Shem Sofo. That is the Ramban over here. Okay, so that is the Ramban in Kiseitse. We continue. V'yashi Yaakov Zakif Tachton. One more minute. Ashiyakov Zakif Tachton. Tari Rabbi Chia Chiyakif Atara. Until it forms the shape of a crown, like a circle. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar Akavas Gid V'lo Akavas Beitzin. So Rav Dimi says it's an earlier stage of puberty, earlier stage where the hair grows in a little fuller, but around the gid, around the aver, and not around the the Beitzim. Amar Rav Chisda, katan shaholid, ein beno nasa ben saramora. Rav Chisda says, a katan that has a child, his son cannot be a ben saramora. Shenemar kiyel le'ish ben vol ben ben. Only if a man, if a gadol has a son, but not if a 10-year-old has a son, so it's not going to work. So Haimi, one second. Haimi Barley, because Vihuda Marav, we just used this pasuk up, right before the two dots. Right, to teach me that, what about the age? How can you use this pasuk to teach me this new halacha? So, im kein, le makrak, yel ben le'ish. The pasuk, if it just meant the earlier halacha, that it has to be, ben samach legrosa shalish, it should have said, kiyet ben le'ish. My kiyet le'ish ben. Shabbat minolik at the Rav Chisda, must be you can learn both. Maybe it's only for the second halacha. No, im kein, ein makra, ben ish. My li'ish ben, shvamina, tarti. So it must be you learned both, period. And then the Gemara is going to say, upliga the Rabbah, tomorrow we're going to start with that Rabbah argues, because Rabbah is going to say that a katan cannot have a child. Seems to be a machlokas and mitzias. This one is very hard to get out of. It seems to be a machlokas. They're arguing whether a 10-year-old could have a son, and we're going to prove, fascinating, tomorrow's daf on Amid Beis, we're going to try to prove from the earlier generations, from all the different ages. How old was were there earlier generations that they had kids when they were ketanim? What about Batsheva when she had Shlomo? What about Avraham? What about Sarah? We're going to go through a couple of the stories to prove how old were the earlier generations, and try to prove from there if it's possible for ketanim to have children. Okay, we'll stop here, and we will continue tomorrow.